active in Christ and people with their kids and people with their
family. Well, with your permission, and this is Parsha, Parsha Tetzaveh. It talks mainly how to prepare the Kohanim to walk in Bet HaMikdash. So the second part of the Parsha talks about actually how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to so-called to ordain the Kohanim, to prepare them to be Kohanim. So one of the things the Torah tells us it doesn't matter, you don't have to look right now. This is chapter 29, sentence 21. It says that they had to slaughter a sheep 13 months old, it's called Ayil, and then to pour the blood on the altar, and then to take from the blood on the altar and from a special oil. This special oil is called Shemen HaMishcha. It's a special oil that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he has to make. The ingredients of this and how to do it, the information is next to Parashat. Parashat Kitisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take a certain herb, maybe it's a herb, maybe it's not, it's a question in the Chachamim, among the Chachamim. It's called mor. This is one of the ingredients you find is also in the Ketoret. It's one of the ingredients of the Ketoret is mor. But here in Shemen, it's called Shemen HaMishcha, the oil, that they smear that oil. And first they had to smear that oil. I don't know if it's first, but to smear the oil on all the items in the Mishkan. So, and whatever was made for the Mishkan, before Moshe or Aaron used them, they had to take from this special oil and smear it on all the dishes, all the vessels, on the big ones and the small ones as well. This is how so-called you made them to become holy with that special oil. Again, that special oil mainly was made with olive oil, and you have to put certain ingredients inside, not too many of them. One of them, the ones being mentioned first in the Torah is mor. It says this is again, this is machloket what it means, that ingredient. We find this in the Ketoret as well. And you have to take this oil and smear it on the vessels. Besides comes the Torah and says now that Aaron, as the Kohen HaGadol, had to be so-called smeared with this oil on his head. As well, he and his children again had to be sprinkled with this oil mixed with the blood from the altar. This is how they made the Kohanim so-called ready to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. Without this, you cannot do it. And actually, in Parashat Tzav, the Gemara reads Sat Hashem before Pesach, the Torah tells Moshe did it. Moshe is slaughtered over there, like a sheep, 13 months old, it's called Ayin, and then pour a part of the blood on the altar, then he took part of the blood, mixed it together. That's what sounds from the Torah, that's how he had to do it. He mixed it together with oil, sprinkled on Aharon and his clothing, and his children and on their clothing, and that's how they become ready to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very strange to do such a thing, but again, there's a secret in everything. We'll get to it maybe later. What is this important procedure that they had to go through in order to be able to be a Kohen? With your permission, I would like to go to the Megillat Esther, with your permission. This is toward the end of the Megillat Esther. This is is chapter 9, I believe. Or 10? Was it maybe 10? No, 9. Chapter 9. This is chapter 9. Sentence 17. It says, "Biyoshu Rishasar Lecholish Adar." This is the Jews all over the world under the regime of Achashverosh fought the enemies on the 13th day of Chodesh Adar. Beluach Barbar Tavo, they rested on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar. Vasote Mishtevet Simcha, they made that day as a day of so-called drinking and happiness. Usually in the Torah and the Tanakh, the word mishte, it doesn't mean a feast, doesn't mean a meal. It means a so-called drinking. From the word lishtot in Hebrew, lishtot means to drink. The word mishte comes from the same root as lishtot, to drink. It says, you know, that's what the Jewish people did. They had, they drank, and they were happy. ויודעים אשר בשושן, סנטנס 18 של זה מגילה, the people that live in Shushan נקהלו בשלושה סבור ובעה סבור, they fought against the enemies 2 days, ונוח בחמישה סבור, the rest on the 15th day of חודש אדר, ועשות הם משתמש לך, and they also make it on the 15th day of חודש אדר, they made it as a so-called drinking day and happiness. וכן היהודים הפרזים, משים מראה פרזות, therefore, זה מגילה, the Jewish people that dwell, that live in cities without walls around the cities, עושים את יום 14 לחודש אדר, שמחה משתה ביום טוב, ומשלוח מנות וסרי ירו. So, what they did was, it says, those people, what they did, they made a happy thing, and also they added what we call משלוח מנות, it means, that, you know, they send to each other, no obligation, of course, was no halacha to do it. They just chose to do such a thing. Chose to do such a thing to send the friend, so-called, a portion of food. But we refer to Mishloach Manot. It says, you, our halacha is, we have to do it. So the Megillah says, you know what, the people, when they rested from the war, that's what they did. They made a so-called a little party with wine. They were very happy. And then they decided to send Mishloach Manot. And it doesn't mention yet Matanot La'aniim, but this is something, you know, something that was no halacha to do it. They made it this way, of course, what it means, just on the surface, that's what it means. It means, you know, that Baruch Hashem, we got rid of the Amalekim, we got rid of the people that wanted to kill us, so they made a party, and the Megillah said, okay, they made a party and they were happy, but also they sent some portion of food to each other. Said, what's the necessity? Why did they do it? Why did they do it? What did Megillah to write you? That's what they did. Again, this is before the halacha that was established later by Mordechai and Esther. I says, now the Megillah comes, he says, Mordechai wrote letters to all the Jews around the world, the Kayem Aleim, he says, please, from now on, you can have your holiday. The Kayem Aleim, you can see Mityom Arban, Sarah Chodesh Adar, Mityom Arban, Sarah Chodesh Adar, Mityom Arban, it says that from now on, please, it's going to be a holiday. I says, DC, you did it just, you know, with no obligation, but from now on, you're having a holiday. I says, what is a holiday? It's the same thing as the people that dwell around the world. Inside cities, they have no walls. They celebrate for him on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar, like at that year that Am Yisrael were able to overcome those enemies. And they rested after the so-called, they killed the enemies on the 14th day of Chodesh Adar. It says every year it's going to be the same thing. Says the Megillah, the Jews rested, so-called, from the enemies. But it says this month, this Baruch Hashem was changed from agony to happiness, never from mourning to Yom Tov to holiday. So do this, your obligation from now on. This is the three mitzvot that we have on Purim. This is Mordechai wrote it in the letters to all the Jews around the world. It says, since we warned the enemy, from now on, you have an obligation. It became a mitzvah. By the way, sometimes it's one of the Chachamim that says, you know, the Gemara comes and asks, it says, where does it mention, where is the hint in the Torah about Haman? Where is the hint in the Torah about Mordechai, about Esther? He said, you know what do you have to have a hint for? He said, I need a hint for is because to read the Megillah is really something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected you to do it. It's not like washing hands. It's not like do certain things that Chachamim with their power came and made us obligated to do these things. He says, Megillah, instead to read the Megillah and to do the mitzvot of Purim might be, according to some Chachamim, this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A direct will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one of the Chachamim even say, you know, this is part of the 630 mitzvot that we have. So then one of the Chachamim said, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu left up to the Chachamim to do certain things, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with that. So that Chacham, Bala Rachodolot, he writes in his book, he says, let me count the 630 mitzvot for you. This is one of the 613 is Purim. I said, well, it's not in the Torah. How can you say 613? He says, well, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted in the Torah about Mordechai and Esther and Haman. He said, you should know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted, if it's going to be such a case, that ever it's going to be a situation you can have Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with wisdom already hinted in the Torah that it should be part of the 630 mitzvot. So actually, according to that Chacham, on Purim, when you hear the Megillah, and you do the Mishloach Manot, this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just the will, it's a part of the 630 mitzvot. How powerful it is, and how true it is, comes the Gemara Yerushalmi with a statement, and tell us you should know, when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Har Sinai, all there on the top, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Ten Commandments, after everybody was going back to the tents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand over here, I want to talk to you about certain things. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Chachamim, he talked to him about two things. One, he gave him the measurement of Beit HaMikdash, and the Midrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand over here, and you got to stand up when I talk to you about Beit HaMikdash. And he told him the measurement of Beit HaMikdash, and this was transferred from Moshe to Yehoshua, and from Yehoshua to Zkenim, all the way up to Shmuel HaNavi. And one day Shmuel HaNavi was sitting down with David HaMelech, and he told David HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you to be the king. Let me tell you something, I have a secret to show you, the measurement of Beit HaMikdash. So the whole idea of Beit HaMikdash, the size, such a small size, and the whole measurement that Shlomo HaMelech built in Yerushalayim was not with his own wisdom, he had already so-called the measurement of Beit HaMikdash. By the way, in Sefer Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel HaNavi at the instruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the measurement of Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third one, that the tradition will have, they have certain measurement in it already. It's not, you know, the engineers and the king that can decide how big Beit HaMikdash should be, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Ten Commandments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, please, you stay over here, next to me, says the Gemara, what do you mean? I have to stay next to you? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, first, I would like to give you the measurement of Beit HaMikdash. It's called Megillat Beit HaMikdash. And then the Gemara Yerushalmi said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him as well Megillat Esther. What it means is, we don't know exactly if it was a real parchment that we have, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him it is going to be Megillat Esther. He told him the whole story of Megillat Esther. And he told him, you're going to tell it to Yeshua, and Yeshua to other people. And actually, some Chachamim said Mordechai had in his pocket Megillat Esther. Don't be so surprised, because I have also in my pocket all the time Megillat Esther, not because my name is Mordechai, so. No, I'm serious, I'm not doing it. So this Megillat Esther that I carry all the time, and Moshe Rabbeinu had it in his pocket also all the time. And Moshe Rabbeinu transferred to Yeshua, and Yehoshua transferred it to Kenim, and it was Kenim and Nevim, and then the Nevim gave it to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and Mordechai had it in his pocket. The question was, if what did happen in the time of Ahasuerus, if the Jewish people are going to fast 3 days, and so-called to do the Shiva Shelema, they went to the party of Ahasuerus, this is when Mordechai would take it out of his pocket, and he would rewrite it, and said, hey, now you're going to get out of this there. But by the way, it's the Gemara who told me, Moshe had it in his pocket, and transferred all the way up to Mordechai. So then, in the Megillah itself already, again, was giving to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. That's what it means, that Chacham said you should know to read the Megillah on Purim, and to do the mitzvot of Purim is not, you know, just Chachamim made it up. That's it, actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, the same time he gave him the measurement of Bet HaMikdash, he gave the Megillah Esther. How powerful it is not to underestimate. You think, this is a story that Mordechai and Esther wrote. One of the Chachamim about 170 years ago, Chatam Sofer writes in his commentary, he says, you should know, Megillat Esther is so powerful that in a way, it's more powerful, I wouldn't say the more powerful, he says, has more light, actually, from the Torah itself. If you can measure light, if you can understand what it means, the light of Torah, something that comes from the Torah, from the text, is the light. This is, you should know, Megillat Esther, don't underestimate it. It has a tremendous power. This is the power of Megillat Esther, is so-called, maybe, even bigger than the Torah. Wait, the Gemara says that the way to write the Megillat Esther, it's also, the Gemara compares it to Torah. What it means like this, if you ever look at the Torah, if you look closely at the parchment, you see the guy that makes the parchment has to draw lines. The sofer that writes the Torah has to follow lines. But when the sofer writes mezuzah, mezuzah does not need to have lines. When the sofer writes the parchment for tefillin, those apartments do not have to have. If you want to make it easier for the sofer. But let's say the sofer is a very good sofer, and he doesn't need lines. But you know, if you want to write something on a piece of paper, and you know how to write straight, you don't need lines. So when you're in school, you need lines. When you grow up, you don't need lines. He says the sofer does not have to have lines when he writes mezuzah, when he writes the tefillin. But when he writes the Torah, he must have lines, even though he's the best sofer in the world. But that's the halacha. The halacha, when you're going to write a Torah, it says a parchment, before the sofer starts writing, the parchment has to have lines. If the parchment doesn't have lines, you cannot start writing. Comes the Gemara Bavli, and says you should know Megillah. Since the Gemara must have lines. It means you have Megillat Esther, so the Sofer is going to write Megillat Esther. So since the Gemara, well, before the Sofer starts, and he wants to write it on the parchment, of course, it says that parchment must have lines, the same way the Torah has lines. So the Gemara already compares Megillah to Torah, so-called, the Megillah is higher even the mezuzah and tefillin. Because the mezuzah and tefillin, they don't have to have lines in the parchment. But the Gemara Yerushalmi comes in one place, and the Gemara says that you should know when Mashiach will come, then of course, you know, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Mordechai, and the 120 people, they put the Tanakh, what we call together, the Bible that we have. This is, it was put together 24 books in the Bible. This is that book. So this is the book of what we call of Judaism. But they decided those are the books that you have to put in. Even though there were more prophets and the more people wrote certain books. This is Miyahu Nabi's son, his name was Ben Sirah, he wrote a book. There's more books. Maccabim wrote a book. Sefer Maccabim, there's more books. But Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said, okay, this is the Bible, and that's it. You know, you should have more prophets that they say some prophecies. It says, it's not important. It says the Tanakh is the Bible. Is the Bible for us, is the Tanakh for us, for future tense, not just for past tense. And you can read it, and you can figure out from it your situation in the world according to the Bible goes in the Tanakh. comes the Gemara of Shabbos and says, you know, when Mashiach will come, the Bible is going to be cancelled. We're going to have just Hamisha Chumash Torah, just the Torah, plus Megillat Esther. So you see how powerful the Megillah is, that this is more important than all the Nevi'im that we have, Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Tre'atar, Mishlet, everything, Yob, everything, Rayamim, everything. Ezra and Nehemiah is not important. It says Megillat Esther is important. It says, what is the importance of this Megillah that's more important than all the Nevi'im? Again comes this Gemara Yerushalmi in Masechet Megillah. Gemara Yerushalmi in Masechet Ta'anit says one step ahead. As we mentioned before, and this is what the Gemara says, that you should know when Mashiach will come, all the halalis are going to be cancelled, besides Purim. So that Chatam Sofer comes again and says you should know that Purim is holier than Pesach and Shavuot. Holier, how can it be? How can it be holier than Pesach and Shavuot? Somebody's going to ask you, what do you have to observe? He says, of course, Pesach, Matzah. He says, listen, Purim is holier than that. Holier. And he says, you see, you know, when Mashiach will come, you can have no Pesach. Pesach is going to be cancelled. You can have no Shavuot, no Sukkot, no Rosh Hashanah, no Yom Kippur. He says, what are you going to have? Purim. How can it be? Must be this holiday is so important that it's going to stay forever and the rest will not. He says again, it's a bit of the Pasuk in the Megillah, that Mordechai writes in the Megillah, it says the days of Purim will stay forever. So again, we go back to that mitzvah of Purim. So the Megillah says, you say Mordechai wrote letters to everybody. It says from now on, it's going to be a new, fresh holiday is called Purim, and you have to obey it. And some Chachamim even say, again, Moshe got the Megillah on Har Sinai, and this is part of the 613 mitzvot. In a way, it's more powerful than all the other mitzvot that we have. This is going to stay forever. The Tanakh is not going to stay forever. The holidays are going to be cancelled. Purim is going to stay. I said, what is this holiday? What is this? Nothing. Ask somebody on the street, what is this? He says, nothing. Hashem made us a miracle. We will save from Haman. Okay, so it's not the first time. It's not the first Hitler that we will save from. It's a very big miracle. But, you know, I can't say this is more important than Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I said, what is this? So it comes to Megillah and tells us, you know, that the Nesot Mordechai said, what you have to do like this. This is sentence 22. He says, Mordechai said, you know what? Well, on Purim, what you got to do, it says, first, what we call Seudat Purim, it's a special mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on Purim, you have to do Seudah, and the Megillah calls it Mishteh, what it means is in the Seudah you have to drink wine. That's the main thing. Then you do Mishloach Manot, you have to give your friends some kind of food, and it's called Matanot La'Evyonim. It says, please give presents to the poor. But usually, we like to think to a poor person, we give tzedakah. This is daily. Of course, we don't have to run and look for a poor person. So maybe again, on Purim is a special mitzvah to give money to the poor people. But here, Mordechai, when he wrote those letters to establish this holiday Purim, he mentioned in his letter, he mentioned that it's called Matanot La'Evyonim. That's a big difference between Matanot and Tzedakah. Tzedakah, even if you don't like to believe in it and you don't like to hear it, this is the halakha. When somebody, Meshulach, came to your house and knocked on the door and told the listener, I have a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, in the center of 300 boys, all orphans, and he shows you a picture of the yeshiva. He shows you a picture, a video of the boys learning. He takes them to the hotel. He buys them suits before the holidays. And he shows you the dining room and the teachers and everything. And he cries to you and he's explained to you and this. And you give him the money. And you give him the big money because he's going to buy a new dormitory. He's going to build a new Beit Midrash. And then you found out that the whole thing is a fake. So the halacha is, it means you so-called fell in a trap. It means when you come to Gan Eden, or if you want to check your file, if it's written on your file that you gave charity, it says, no, you know, You fell in a trap, like you know, you had a business deal, and the guy, you know, that sold you something, he didn't tell you anything, and says, well, you lost the money. I says, you lost the money. It's called tzedakah. Tzedakah, you have to check out the meshulach. If the meshulach is not real, it's not tzedakah. I says, well, you meant well. You, from the bottom of your heart, so you gave him tzedakah, and you really meant it, but the man is a faker. The man is a faker, forget about it. I myself, I met Baruch Hashem, and it's good to meet Baruch Hashem, few fakers, not one. Not, you know, just on a small version faker. This is Noam Shulach. He has 4 apartments in Beit Vagan in Yerushalayim. 4. And not, you know, it's not a one-bedroom apartment. Nice ones. He doesn't even go back to Israel. He goes, you know, a few months in America, from town to town, city, then he goes to South America. Then he comes back to America and he collects. And even came to my shul in Great Neck. And somebody, you know, told me, I never regretted it. So they said, well, let me know, you don't have to give him $10,000. So I gave him $1. So they said, he was very happy, you know, because, you know, can you imagine, he goes in America, around about 300,000 Jews. So each one gives him $1. It's $300 every year. So it was a very nice apartment there. But it means you lost the money. It means you did not accomplish any mitzvah. And the Gemara says, on your record, in Shemaim, he said he didn't give nothing. He said you lost $100,000 you gave to the Meshulach. He told you that the kollel, the yeshiva. He said no kollel, no yeshiva, no orphan, no children. He's achnasat kala, who's achnasat kala? The man never got married. He's now doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have children. He said the whole thing is a fake story. He cries to you. He has the papers from before the Holocaust from some chachamim in Europe. He tells you achnasat kala this, and you're here, and he cries to you. They gave it to him. He says they have a good heart. It's not perfect, but the mitzvah he never did. It says on your record he did not do mitzvah. Purim is different. Excuse me. Nothing. Zero. It's the same thing that he do business. The Gemara says one of the Chachamim is Nimot Rosh Lakish. He says he was on the way to the mikveh. And next to the mikveh, the entrance, was the poor man crying. He says, give me some money. He says, you know what? Let me go to the mikveh. After the mikveh, it's a big thing to give tzedakah after the mikveh. He says, well, come out of the mikveh. The poor man, you see, it's a very big thing. Might be early on. And he also says, wait for a few minutes. He goes inside the mikveh. The Gemara says it. He goes inside the mikveh. He comes outside. The poor man is dead. Hatzala is there. The man is dead on the floor. Hatzala is there. So this is Hatzala, not of Jewish Hatzala. It was the Goyim Hatzala. It says, no, this is the ambulance. And usually it comes about an hour after the man dropped dead. And they start checking him for ID. It says his pocket full of gold coins. And then they say he has a bag full of gold coins. So the Chacham Shlaki says, ah, Baruch Hashem, Hashem saved me. Not only Hashem saved me to give this faker money, now when somebody knocks on my door, and I don't want to give him because I suspect that he's a faker, I have a point. I says, who are you to judge this person if he is for real or not? Who are you? I says, listen, because I found this guy that begged me and, you know, and asked me, give me money, I'm starving. And then he died. And the emirah found that he has a lot of money. I says, there's no mitzvah. And the Gemara says, this is a certain amount of money in time of Gemara. Again, today it's hard, so-called, maybe, to judge exactly what is the minimum the person has. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah, let's say somebody has 200 zuz. Let's say, is $2,000 in his pocket. Let's say in our time is $2,000. I said, but he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a job. I said, he's not allowed to go collect. And the Gemara says, if a person is not eligible, you say eligible. Huh? Eligible? If he's not eligible to collect, if he collects, then he's going to lose all his money. So the Gemara says, it's not, you know, if the guy has a kollel, the guy has a yeshiva, he collects, okay, fine. And they say the guy wants to collect for himself. And he says, why are you collecting for himself? He says, I have no job. He says, let me, I want to ask you, you have a bank account? He says, no. So where is the money? Well, I have a safe in Switzerland. Okay, better. He says, what do you got over there? What do you get over there? He says, I got $2,000. You're not allowed to collect, Doctor. You're not allowed to collect. When it goes lower and lower, then you're allowed to collect. But you cannot say, okay, let me, I want to make sure I have money when I'll be 75 years old. So I'm collecting. You're not allowed to. You know, it's a Mishnah. It's halacha. A poor person has to be poor according to halacha, not according to what he thinks he needs money. It's called, he's stealing the money from the people. You're not allowed to do it. Again, if it's in yeshiva, then, you know, the yeshiva wants to invest it by Madoff. It's the yeshiva's problem. If you give money to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva give it to Madoff. So all the money that you give to the yeshiva is not tzedakah. So the yeshiva gave it to Madoff, the yeshiva lost it. It means it's a fake mishmullah. Then you wrote, you didn't give tzedakah. See, the tzedakah was seen for nothing. When you give tzedakah, you know the yeshiva needs it. The yeshiva needs it to buy boys, the furniture for the yeshiva, the food for the boys, pay the teachers. But the yeshiva has $120 million in savings account, and they gave it to Madoff. And Madoff lost the money, and they say, you give the yeshiva? It's nothing. You didn't give no money to the yeshiva. Tzedakah finished. And on the record, it shows blank. He says, the guy comes to you and says, I have yeshiva, I have yeshiva, yeshiva. And then he found out that the guy has $300,000 in Switzerland in the account. And he says, you never get tzedakah. Never get tzedakah. Means nothing. He says, that's halacha. They say, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Atka Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Yirmiyahu told him, that's true. That's true all over. All year round, that's true. The Mishulach comes to your house, knocks on the door. And if he's a fake hair, you gave him a dollar, you lost a dollar. It's like a business deal. You invested money in the business, and the business died, finished, you lost the money. Tzedakah is the same thing. If the guy is not eligible to get tzedakah, you gave him tzedakah, it's nothing. He says, how much is the kala? He says, how much is the kala? He says, $30,000. Only $30,000. He says, okay, so now the guy already was in America, he collected $100,000. And I said, over the money, what are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with it? What do you do with this? What do you do with this? Well, you know, I got to keep it for myself, you know, when I go over for, you know, when I retired, I'm going to, so retired, so he stole the money from you. And we didn't give it to Zaka, no, I said, Kala, no, nothing. Besides, on Purim. Purim is different. Purim, the Allah, is Shulchan Aruch, is when somebody comes to you and knock on the door, you know the guy is a faker. You know him, he has a 4 apartments in Babylon, he has by now 6. So he comes to the door, he knocks on the door, you're ready to, you know, he says, hold on 1 minute, I have the bet. You know, the bet was bad, you want to kill him. Because he stole from you the whole year around, he came already a few times, and a few times, you know, somebody called me from Los Angeles. They called me from Los Angeles. I said, there's a guy over here gave to the car, but so many people stand in line, so they come, every 3 days the same people come. Every 3 days, they come again online, he doesn't know who will come, because, you know, there's hundreds of people come to collect money from him. And he goes, I don't want to say the name, it's going to be on the internet. So people go over there to him, and he writes them a check, and 3 days later, the same person comes over to him, in the same story, but he doesn't recommend money, he gives him another check. They steal from him. So, one time he recognizes the person, and the person says, oh, you're a thief. Don't give him. And if that thief comes on Purim, you have to give him. But it's a fake hair. The whole year around, if you give it to him, it means you just threw the money away. If it's on Purim, Allah and Shulchan Aruch. He ever comes to you on Purim, he sticks his hand like this, you have to give him something. You can't just say, whoa. I said, well, what is it? The guy's a faker. The guy's a faker. Another guy's a faker. So the whole year around, I shouldn't give it to him. It's a little bit... Maybe machloket a little bit about this part if you know for sure it's a faker. But again, this everybody agrees that during the year somebody comes to you and it's this everybody says, he says, listen, I have a yeshiva, you have the right to ask him, the telephone number of the yeshiva, have my brother go to the yeshiva, I want to see the yeshiva, you have the right. If he comes to you on Purim, he tells you have a yeshiva, that everybody agrees that you can ask him anything. You can say, okay, I want to make a phone call to Yerushalayim to see if you really have a yeshiva. You're not allowed to. On Purim, that's everybody agrees. Some people even say that even if you know the guy is a faker, and during the year you're not obligated to give him, of course you don't have to give him, maybe you shouldn't give it to him, on Purim you have to give it to him. He says, what is it? It is called Matanot La'Evyonim. And his poor is not called tzedakah l'anim, it's called matanot l'anim. It's called a present for the poor. I said again, this decision was made by Mordechai and Esther. Again, Mordechai had in his pocket Megillat Esther, of course he knew maybe what to ask and how to establish this chag. That is very strange. It's very strange, either Mordechai made it up or Mordechai knew the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what we have to do on Purim. This is mainly the three or four mitzvot. You have to read the Megillah, of course, and then it's called Sudat Purim, and then it's called Mishloach Manot, and then it's called Matanot Levanim. It says, what is behind it? What do you have to have it? What is the secret that Mordechai made it in this special halacha? Here on Shabbat, whoever put the Siddur together, this merit to put the Siddur together, and we put some certain zemirot in the book. Besides the secret of the zemirot that we have on Shabbat, but this is very crucial, by the way, to sing the Zemirot on Shabbat. It's very crucial. It doesn't matter if you have the whole family next to you at the table, or maybe on a business trip, or on a mission someplace by yourself. It says you have to sing the Zemirot, not just to say, but to sing the Zemirot. It's a tremendous energy and powerful success for the Zemirot. There's one, the one that most of us know it, it's Yareh Bon Olam Be'olmaya. This is a song that was made by one of the biggest tzaddikim. His name was really Israel, but also because the Amishad called Israel, so he wrote this poem. It's called Yareh Bon Olam Be'olmaya, and the fifth paragraph in that mizmor that starts with the Lamed, that is the so-called the last letter of his personal name and of Amishad, this is how the paragraph goes. It says, the paragraph is in Aramaic, of course, and the paragraph says in Aramaic like this, please go back to Bet HaMikdash. And somebody would ask us, what is Bet HaMikdash for? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need that we should build in Bet HaMikdash? This is a place, you know, that you go over there, you have to sacrifice over there. I said, listen, you can sacrifice in your backyard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept your sacrifice any place in the world. He will pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any place in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells all over. And so what does he need, this specific spot? This is today, it's called Bet HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. He says, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose it, and he wants you, so-called, to believe that this is so-called ultimate goal that is going to be Bet HaMikdash. What does he need it for? For what do you need Bet HaMikdash? You don't need this. By the way, Eventually, this is our hope that we can go back to Gan Eden. That is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Nam HaShon in Gan Eden, and maybe, it's not for sure, that we can end up in Gan Eden again. That is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put first man on earth in Gan Eden, and then after he ate from the tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chased him out, of course, eventually, but everything will be back on its own place, eventually we should go back to it. But again, maybe we don't have to stay there. Again, we're going to get to Bet HaMikdash. Again, what is this Bet HaMikdash that we all pray for? What is this? So that's how the song goes. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, the Mikdash of Tevel, Kodesh Kutshim, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come back to Bet HaMikdash and to Kodesh Kutshim, the holiest of the holiest. It's not just Bet HaMikdash, it's the holiest of the holiest. This is what is that? What is Bet HaMikdash? So the song says, Atar, this is the place, Divei Yechdun Ruchim Benafshin. It's the place that the Neshamot are very happy, in that place. Bizam Ulach Shirin Derach Hashim, it says, you know, in that place, everybody sings over there. They can sing over there. It says, this is the whole thing of Bet HaMikdash, nothing else. If somebody is going to ask us what is Bet HaMikdash all about, it's not for sacrificing, it's not for praying, it's just to sing over there. That's all. Be happy, divei yechdun ruchim benafshin, vizamu lachim benafshin. That's what you sing over there. This is where? In Bet HaMikdash. Where? Not only Bet HaMikdash, also Kodesh, Kodeshim, it means the holiest of the holiest. What is in the holiest of the holiest? The holiest of the holiest the Kohen Gadol used to so-called bring the spices called the Ketoret once here on Yom Kippur. So what is this Ketoret? Since this Ketoret was so-called brought in with Hamidah twice a day, once on Shacharit in the morning, once in the afternoon, this is spices that is going to be next to Parasha. That is the Kadosh told Moshe Rabbeinu, go take those kind of spices, mix it, and this is called Ketoret. How powerful the Ketoret is, we learn in the Torah, Parashat Korach was a pandemic. Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon, go take those spices, and when you stand with the spices next to Malach HaMalek, next to the angel that kills people, he will stop killing people. Since the Gemara, Ketoret Otzeret Magifah, the Ketoret, those spices, with these ingredients, when you hold it, Malach HaMavet has no power. It says, how do you know it? Since the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Ten Commandments, he went upstairs, he met over there Malach HaMavet. He met Malach HaMavet, but I don't know, maybe it was before Ten Commandments. He met Malach HaMavet upstairs, he said, this is the angel that kills people. And this angel told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to share with you a secret. He says, you know, me, I have a job to kill people. But since you're going to read the Torah, I want to tell you something. This one thing can stop me. If you do Ketoret, nobody will die anymore. This is the powerful, this is the energy of those spices that they had in the morning and in the afternoon in Beit HaMikdash, and this is what we say before Shacharit, after Shacharit, and before Mincha. It is called Pitum HaKtoret. This is those are the spices. It's called, this is how they used to fix those spices and eventually put it and so-called on sacrificing it on the gold altar in Beit HaMikdash. So what is the secret of those spices? Shulma Melech Rabotai says in Sefer Mishle, Shemen Ketoret Yesamach Lev. So the idea in your life, Ari says, is that you have to have happiness in your heart. Hashem created us because Hashem wanted in so-called himself to be happy for his creation, from his creation, and for his creation, that we should be happy all the time. I said, that's your goal in life. I said, Hashem created you to be happy. That's why Hashem gave us everything. That's why Hashem created mankind, put him in Gan Eden. He said, you don't have to have any obligation, you don't have credit cards, nothing. He said, here you stay forever, you have food forever. He said, you don't need anything, you don't have to go outside, you don't have to do any business, it's fine. He said, you have no aggravation, you have no any sadness or any depression, what we call it in America, and this is going to be the happiest person. So that's what Hashem expects you to be. Now he says that the Zohar says you should know if somebody is not happy, if somebody is getting upset, what he does really, actually, he closes the pipe that brings him his partner. So every time the Zohar says, and he says, that a person losing himself or is upset, it means you should know, you should have got an order from a customer, you should have made some kind of a deal, and all of a sudden the deal fell through, you know, either you got upset or the other side got upset. The same thing I said, you should know with the sicknesses. I said, you know, in the morning, Rashi says in the Gemara that it's a mitzvah to have wine in the morning. I said it's for breakfast. Come to Gemara and say that you should know that breakfast takes away sicknesses. 83 sicknesses. So Rashi says, you know, you have to have wine on breakfast. I says, what is the power of the wine? The power of the wine makes you happy inside. I says, when you're happy inside, you're never going to get sick. All the sicknesses come because the person is not happy. If the person will be happy all the time, he cannot get sick. If a person is happy all the time, he cannot die. That says that Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to David HaMelech the day he's going to die. He told him he's going to die on Shabbat. So the Gemara, David HaMelech said, oh, I'm going to have Shabbat. I know how to stop the death penalty. And I'm going to study Torah the whole day. Then I know Malach HaMavet, the angel, cannot come and kill me. Simple explanation is, you know, this is the power of the Torah, the energy of Torah. Now, says the Gemara, you know that the Malach HaMavet came and he made some noise in the backyard of the palace where David HaMelech was. And then when David HaMelech heard this noise from the trees, some kind of hurricane or tornado, so he went outside and then they stepped down to the garden, broke, and in that moment, so-called, he stopped learning Torah, and that moment, he fell dead. So Hamim say, you know what really actually happened? Actually happened, it's not because he stopped to learn Torah. This is because he stopped being happy. This is the Torah makes you happy. This is that when you put tefillin, it makes you happy. When you observe holidays make you happy. This is the idea of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The Torah is not an obligation, it's a privilege. It's for us to be happy. You cannot be happy. But it's happiness, since the Gemara is not happy at the moment that you study. Since the Gemara, when you learn Torah, you have to feel you're very happy. But that feeling should take you, after you finish learning, through the day. It's not very happy. He says, why are you so happy? What happened? Well, what happened? You have some good news? He says, no, I have no idea. I'm very happy. Says the Gemara, that's the power of Torah. Torah magna ben beidna ben shalabina. Torah can save and protect you all the time. It is because the Torah is what is going to make you happy. When you're happy, nothing can happen to you. Malach HaMavet cannot kill you. You cannot get sick. And you cannot lose any money. All the tragedies that people have is because they're not really happy all the time. It is because all the tragedy is a job that the bad angel does to you. It says this can happen to you only if you're not happy. If you would be happy all the time, nothing can happen. If David HaMelech would be very happy, oh, the step broke. Thank God, I'm so happy that the step broke. He would never have died. This is that thing that he died is because at the moment he stopped learning. When he stopped learning, it means he stopped being happy. He says he was worried about the step. He was worried, what's the noise outside? He says, if you worry about it, you're already not happy. If you're a worried person, what it means is that you're not under so-called the guardian of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. You are on your own, and then the angel can so-called play with you, and you lost certain items, a certain level in your lifetime because you weren't happy. And this really, obviously, you should know, this is the power of Shemina Mishram. This is what we started, to prepare the Kohanim and the Kamidash. I mean, if you think about this, I said, you know, it's a major job for a Kohen, major job. I says, you know, the Maharaj says, on Pesach, there were millions of Jews standing online. Millions of Jews standing in line with the sheep. And not only on Pesach. At every holiday, it's a mitzvah to come to show your face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're not allowed to come empty-handed. And you have to come to Beit HaMikdash, it's called Olat Riyah and Shalmei Chagigah. You have to come and bring the sacrifice. Talking about millions of people. And Gemara said, in fact, Beit HaMikdash. One time, they counted the kidneys of the sheep for the slaughter. And you don't know how many people participate in the sheep on Korban Pesach, that each one has to eat only the size of like 27 grams of kazayit. You don't know how the sheep, how big the sheep was or the goat was. But they said they found kidneys for hundreds of thousands of sheep, maybe 600,000 sheep, no hundreds even more. It says just, you know, to tell you the enormous amount of Jewish people, of the Jews that came to Beit HaMikdash. It says this is the second Beit HaMikdash. This is the first, the second. It says you should know, it says, you know, millions of people, when you read the tragedy of Nebuchadnezzar, Yimach Shimon, Nebuzaradan, and then Yimach Shimon, the Romans, they killed, how many people they killed in Bethar, in Yerushalayim, an enormous amount. Imagine all these people come to Beit HaMikdash. And here you have Kohanim, it doesn't matter how many Kohanim. The place was very, very small. He says you have to come and take care of everybody. How much patience those Kohanim need? He says how happy they have to be to serve you. They say, they don't get paid. They work for nothing. And it's not a comfortable job. As Gemara says, sometimes the Badim and Tamidash reach the knees of the Kohanim. It says that everybody was tending by. And sometimes the time is a crucial element in the sacrifice, because you have to finish eating it by a certain time. If the lion is very, very big, and sometimes, you know, after you bring it, they say the animal is not kosher. They found something inside the animal that makes the animal tired. It's not kosher. Let me bring another animal. Send the lion again. It says, you know, the Kohen has to reach a level that he is calm and he is happy all the time. Otherwise, he'll never do the job. Never do the job. I said, how can you make sure that this Kohen is going to so-called welcome you to Beit HaMikdash, will serve you right, will do the job right, and when you leave, you feel with such a good feeling the Kohen was happy to do the job. He doesn't get from you anything. And it's just, you know, a headache for him. And this enormous amount of work that he has to do. So I said, you know what? I said, you know what? Let me tell you something. First, the coin, I got the Lahuna coin. It was known with his habit to be happy all the time. It never got angry. So we have to pour on his head from this special oil. It's called Shemen HaMishchan. It says that oil contains energy. This is the oil they used to pour on the king also as well. Says he, because the success of your kingdom, the success of Beit HaMikdash is happiness. And that's what, but this is the song that we sing on Shabbat. It says the Mikdash, it says, come to Beit HaMikdash. He said, what is Beit HaMikdash? This is the place of happiness. From that place, so-called, you can draw happiness that this you should go home from there, that always you should be happy inside you. But it's not just happiness that you make yourself happy. It says it's something inside you, satisfaction of happiness. Nothing bothers you. You're not happy because Baruch Hashem everything goes well. Even if things they don't go the way you want them to go, the goal is you have to be happy. Because it's a trick. It's a trap. That fake Mashiach that comes to your house is only to make you upset. I said, what do you say? You have a colon? Which one called? Island B? Which number? 100? Listen, my mother lives there. What are you talking nonsense? I had it in my house. I'm a Mashiach, a fake one. I asked him, I didn't open the door. I opened the door. As Mashiach said, I have a colon in Nebra. I said, fine. I said, where is your colon? He said, the street that my father lives on the street. I said, so I told my wife, give him a dollar. I know the guy's a liar. No, he doesn't. He said, the idea is in your lifetime never to lose yourself, not to lose yourself, because it's a privilege to be happy. Because if Hashem, you lose yourself, you lose your health, you lose your fortune, says the Zohar. You know what he says, that's what Kabbalah gave us the Torah, that's the secret. It's not an obligation to keep the Torah. It's a privilege, because via Torah, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, because there are no issues with something else, the Torah makes you happy inside. It says tefillin make you happy. It says brit milah make you happy. It says the moadim they make you happy. It says okay, fine. But let me tell you something. The punchline is Purim. Purim, that's the day of the year that you can get the energy from that day, that you be happy inside your system for good. For good. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this holiday, and this is what Megillat Esther is all about, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to keep. And that's what Chatam Sofer said, and that's what the Rambam in his commentary, the Gemara Yerushalmi said, you should know when Mashiach will come, all the holidays are going to be canceled. Because the holidays that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is not to remember. It says when you remember Pesach, you remember, you know, I used to be a slave in Egypt. And Baruch Hashem, I'm out of the woods. Baruch Hashem, not safe. So I'm happy. It's called Pesach. If you sit in the Seder, it's called Derech Chirut. It says if you sit, if you lean on your left side, and if you don't lean on your left side, and you ate and you drink, you ate the matzah, you drink the wine without leaning on your left side, it means you didn't accomplish anything. He says, wow, what is behind it? Because leaning shows how happy you are. He says, of course, in our time, it's not so important, but again, Chachamim said, do it because in times before, people, when they lean On the left side, it means they're very comfortable, they're very happy. I'm comfortable. It says, you should know, all the holidays Hashem gave us, it's called Mu'adim, it's Mu'adim L'Simcha, Hagim U'Zmurim L'Sason, it means it's a happy day. I says, why are you happy today? And today, you know, this is Sukkot because we came out of Egypt. And we ate Matzah because we came out of Egypt. This is Sukkot, it's Shavuot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. He says, you know what? When Mashiach will come, you don't need it anymore. He says, why you don't need it? He says, because you can have only Purim. Purim contains everything. Purim is the root of all the holidays. Purim is the root of all the happiness. It is that that's what you have to do. I said, you have to do with that Purim. That Purim is not, it's not the meal. It's not the meal. The meal has to have wine. If you have the meal of Purim without wine, so I haven't said you didn't accomplish anything. It's called Yemei Mishteh Besimcha. It says days of Mishteh. The word Mishteh refers in the Torah and the Tanakh for drinking wine. No water, no Coca-Cola, no Shabbat Shalom, no vodka, no arak. This is nothing. It says the only thing that you should drink is wine. Again, not to get drunk. It is just enough to make your heart happy. The wine makes you happy. It says, let me tell you something else. It says, when you want to check yourself, if you really are on that level, that it means that you're very happy, it says, what do you do when you're happy? This is when you're happy, you give. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all day long? He gives people. He gives people. So I'm hard to guess the purpose of creation. Hashem created us because Hashem so-called wanted to give to someone. It is by himself. What should he give? He says he created this world. He created people. Now he gives the people. He gives the people not because he wants to give the people, because he is happy to give the people. He says, this is, by the way, this is the day of Purim, that this is a test for you to say if you reach it. He says, what you got to do? I said, I have to be happy. Okay, fine. So what you want to do to make sure that you know that you are at that level, that you accomplished what Purim is, so-called bigger than all the holidays. The Megillah is so-called bigger than all the Tanakh, all the Nevi'im. It's a happiness. Let me tell you, when you're happy, let's see if you send your friend, it's called Mishloach Manot. The Mishloach Manot is like a test for you to show that you are a very happy person. Happy person likes to give. I says, you know how far I have to give? I says, Matanot Laidoni. It's not tzedakah. The Mishloach comes to you and says, oh, you're Mishloach. Oh, I gave you already. Every year you come over here. That's no good. Then you didn't reach the level. It's called Matanot Laidoni. You give a present, when you give a present to someone, it means you're very happy with him. It means you're on that level. This is the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us called Matnat Chinam. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all year round, so-called presents all the time. As Mordechai said, you know, this is the accomplishment of the Megillah. It's not the accomplishment that you have to do things. It's not that you have to do, it has to come from inside you. It's not that I have so-called to celebrate Purim. Purim is celebration. Purim is a time that the day, so-called, is a happy day. It says, Vayishu Shan Salah V'Samech Adem Gila, says, you know, the city is happy. What do you mean the city is happy? Well, they will tell you, what it means is that the people in the city are happy. He says, no, it means the city, the environment. You can feel, you can breathe happiness. He says, what is it? You give me a Torah, Simcha V'Sason V'Kar. He says, the Jews had, Orah, Simcha V'Sason V'Kar. So come to Gemara, he says, you know what they had really? They had Torah, they studied Torah, they understood the Torah is going to make them happy. He says, the happiness is so-called the protection from all the tragedies. He says, this is Purim all about. He says, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, and so Chachamim, that is part of the 630 mitzvot. So Chachamim said, no, Mordechai Neser. It says, perfect. All Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke and gave us 10 commandments, at the same moment, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, you wait over here. He says, I want to talk to you about two subjects. Subject number one, I want to give you the measurement of Beit HaMikdash. He says, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's important right now that you have to give me the measurement of Beit HaMikdash? It's called Megillat Beit HaMikdash. He says, what is this? He says, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, wait 1 second. There's something else to give you. It's called Megillat Esther, says Talmud Yerushalmi. He says, on Har Sinai, before even you got the Torah was given to us It's called Ahvot Moab. At the end, 40 years later, we had Jafar at Israel, and Moshe, the last day of his life, wrote 13 Torah. He says, here, Hashem told me to write you the Torah, here's the Torah. Before Moshe died, we had no Torah. We had information about Mitzvot, but we don't have a parchment, bigger parchment, that contains so-called the Torah. You can have Mitzvot, you can have Book of Laws, but you don't have so-called an iron that's called Torah. That was given to us 40 years later. Rabbi Moshe said to us 10 commandments on our Sinai, but nevertheless, after he gave us 10 commandments, he gave us two items. He said he gave to Moshe, maybe he gave him the password, it's not so clear, but definitely he told him, stand over here, I want to talk to you about two subjects. Before anything else, he said, what are you talking to me about? He said, I'm talking to you the measurement of the Tamikdash. I'm talking to you about what can happen one day in Mordechai and Esther. He says, what is the connection? He says, the connection is because the power of the Torah is happiness. He says, but Hamidash is so-called the center of happiness. That's what we sing on Shabbat, and on Shabbat on Friday night. He says, we sing that song. He says, please come back to Bet Hamidash. He says, what is Bet Hamidash? The state to sacrifice? No. The state to sacrifice is only a tool to prepare yourself to the situation you should be happy. The sacrifice is so you should have a forgiveness, you have a kapara. But the idea is this happiness. He says, that's what the song says. He says, you know, we hope you should come back to Beit HaMikdash. We hope you should come back to Kodesh HaKodeshim. In Kodesh HaKodeshim, the holiest of the holiest, the Kohen HaGadol used to do the Ketoret. The Ketoret has a tremendous energy that has influence on people that should be happy. He says, that is what I want from you. He says, when Hashem actually gave us 10 commandments, so Moshe says, okay, the scene is over. It's over. Moshe, stand over here. I want to explain to you something. It's not the laws, what I said, 10 commandments. The 10 commandments contains the whole Torah as 620 letters in the 10 commandments. It says this is 630 mitzvot ma'atorah, 10 mitzvot chachamim. It says, that's Moshe, stand over here. I want to tell you something. It says, listen, you have to be Beit HaMikdash. He says, why have Beit HaMikdash? For what? Because this is, in Beit HaMikdash, is so-called the center of happiness. It says, by the way, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you the day of happiness. It's called Purim. Here's Megillat Esther. Put it in your pocket. Remember, it's going to come a time, it's going to be Mordechai and Esther. They're going to so-called lead them Israel to a moment of happiness. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so-called in that scenery, it's called Ma'amad al-Sinai, when he gave us the Ten Commandments, at the same time, he told Moshe, Bet HaMikdash, and this is the parashat that we add now, this is parashat Truma, it's to be between Mishkan and Bet HaMikdash, and this is parashat Etabed, that we read this Shabbat, this is about how the Kohen has to dress, and how to prepare the Kohanim, so-called, that constantly they should be happy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as maybe your messenger, maybe as HaKadosh Baruch Hu messenger to the Gemara, but the idea is that you have to reach that level, and that's what Rami Brinner says. So this Rami Brinner says that people, you know, not tomorrow, tomorrow of course I understand, but Rami Brinner says, you know, that the people, Chas Shalom, they did certain things, they have to have a kapara, and they have to do ta'anit. Says Rami Brinner, yeah, you have to do ta'anit, you have to do a fast day for certain things that you did, only if you did not reach so-called the stage of happiness. Because happiness, this is so-called the goal of life. So if you did something, but you're happy all the time, so-called, inside you, this is the highest level you can reach. Hashem weighs all the sins. You don't have to do ta'anit. You just have to be happy. But this means it has to be a happiness from inside you. And this is, Ari said, that Purim is so holy, that Purim is a day that is holier than Pesach and Shavuot, and this is what the Chatam Sofer says, that the night of Purim, if you stay up the whole night, it says, for sure you ben olam haba. So he heard it from his rabbi, and said, you should know, the night of Purim is not the night to get, you know, just to have a meal and go to sleep. It says, try, it says, to stay up the whole night and study. It says, if you do it on the night of Purim, guarantees olam haba. Of course, you cannot do sins. But even if you didn't do enough mitzvot that grant you with the visa to go to Olam Haba after Mashiach will come. It says the night of Purim has so much energy, the Megillah that you read at the beginning of the night, and the Megillah you can read in the morning. It says the Chatam Sofer, if you learn between those two Megillot, you have Olam Haba. That's how powerful this holiday, and this is what Chachamim, Mordechai and Esther came and established it, and they said, listen, this is a holiday. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. They said, you know, you have to be so happy that if somebody comes and asks you something, they said, here is a tzedakah for you. They said, it happens. You don't check him. You don't investigate him. They said, give it to them. They said, you know, you like to send your friend. It's not that, you know, this is okay to my obligation, let me block one note. They said, you have to have inside this kind of a feeling. That kind of a feeling comes, as the Gemara says, we're learning Torah, we're keeping them in thought, we put feeling on. It says, then you do tzedakah for him, and you drink, and you don't drink a little bit of wine, not all the other beverages. Not the beer, and it's not the vodka, it's just a little wine. Wine has a tremendous power, so-called, to wake up, so-called, that spark inside your heart, that the simcha is in the heart, comes from the bottom of your heart, the simcha, it says you reach the level of them who want you to be. It's about constantly you have to be happy. Nobody can make you upset, or you lose so-called your happiness. You have to be happy inside, all the time. That Ari says, this is the blessing, this is the present that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, this heart is called Purim, and the Chachamim say, you know, the Zohar says, Chachamim say, Ari says, Yom Kippurim is like Purim. They says, Yom Kippur, Kadosh Baruch Hu waved over your sin, it says, it's like Purim, it says, Purim, Hashem waved all the sins of everybody, because this is the day of happiness, of course, and because we accepted Torah Shemar Peh, we accepted Zalachot, we did Tanit, we learned Torah, of course. But what is the destination? What's the goal? The goal is happiness for me. In Yerushalayim, in Bet HaMikdash, that's what the song says, Hashem will come back to Bet HaMikdash, that's the place we're going to sing. That's what the Levim in Bet HaMikdash used to sing. This is to sing in Bet HaMikdash. What do you think they have to sing? He says, Hashem cares. He says, in Shamayim, he's Malachi HaSharet. He says, the angels sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it? He says, no, this is called the world of happiness. The world of happiness. People sing. It's automatically. You sing automatically. If you're happy, you sing. He says, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. It's just to be happy and to sing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why He created us. It's not an obligation. This is really what Hashem had in mind. That a person should always be happy. He likes that, you know, he would like to see his son. And then the son, he comes from school, he's happy. And then you like to, what he gets is, I like to see my son happy. I don't like to see my son upset. It's exactly what Hashem likes to see us happy. And says, Purim is the day that can cause, so-called, a person to reach and push him to reach that level to be happy.
What about putting the dam in the
center of the dish? So, the dam, I don't know. I think what it means is that when you put the blood inside this oil, the dam usually represents so-called judgment. And when they mix the blood, the judgment, together with this oil, so-called the judgment became so-called a happiness. I mean, you turn, it's like an apocalypse dream, that you turn so-called the sadness into joy. This is the same thing that you have to do with some blood, and blood represents dam, represents judgment in him. This is you mix it with that oil, this is the oil changes the blood into a joy. And this you sprinkle it on the Kohen, on his body, on his clothing, then the Kohen will get from it energy, which is always going to be happy to serve on this Rebbe Tamid.
How are you, gentlemen?
I took a watch with you from
Sarah, very nice. I saw him